Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the NFL Super Regional Combine this weekend. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have a participant in the NFL Super Regional Combine. We have Terrence Bullitt of Texas Tech joining us. Terrence, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Right off the bat here, Terrence, are you a linebacker or a safety? I know you played safety early in your career, and then you played linebacker as a senior. What are you hearing from NFL scouts? What do they look at you at the next level?
I think they're looking at me as an outside linebacker, but me personally, I feel like I can play both. And my height and weight and speed show that. You know, I'm 6'3", 230, and I ran from 4.5s to 4.6s, so I feel like I could play both at the next level.
So Terrence has been invited to the NFL Super Regional Combine in Detroit this weekend after previously taking part in a regional combine earlier this year. Are you excited, Terrence? Are you nervous? How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. This is something I've been doing my whole life. Growing up in a football family with my dad playing, my brother playing professionally, this is just like game day. I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm not nervous at all.
I know a lot of guys are invited to the Super Regional Combine because they impressed in their workouts previously. So what's your best drill, Terrence? Is it your 40 time, the shuttles, the jumps? What are you doing best at?
Really, I feel like I've been doing great at all of them, but as for outside linebacker, I guess I'll say my vertical.
Which was what at the...
It was, so far, it's been a 40. Hopefully, I'm trying to go 40-plus this tomorrow.
That's pretty impressive. I think the top jump at the NFL Combine was 42 inches, so you're just short of that.
Yeah, Ryan Shazier. Ohio State. I saw that. And I think I might be able to get to that. I'm going to definitely try tomorrow.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Let's talk about you as a football player, though, Terrence. I want you to tell me two things. What is the number one best thing you offer on a football team? And then on the other hand, what is something that's a weakness, something you still have to work on?
The best thing I offer is, you know, I'm going to be one of those guys that are first from the field and last off. And, you know, I'll lead by example. And my athleticism is there if you look at my family background and my play. I guess something that I can work on is maybe putting on a little bit more weight for the NFL. You know, I've been looking at outside linebackers and probably want to get to the 240 range instead of staying at 230. But other than that, you know, I was well coached by Mike Smith, who was a position coach for the Jets before coming to Texas Tech. You know, my brother played 7 years in the NFL and was a captain for 6 for the Colts. And so I'm a student of the game. I know how to play. I know how to win. I'm ready. I've been waiting for this my whole life.
I'm sure Texas Tech fans are really familiar, but I know I'm not. Who is your brother again?
Excuse me?
Who is your brother? What's his name?
His name is Melvin Bullitt. He played for the Indianapolis Colts.
Gotcha. So you're saying the bloodlines are there?
Yeah, the bloodlines are there. You know, my uncle had played in the NFL back in the 80s. His name was Steve Bullitt. My dad played for a little bit before he hurt his back for the Redskins, Jerry Bullitt. And Melvin, my brother, he played for 6 years. 6 or 7 years and was a captain for all those years but one. So I'm a student of this game, and I've been preparing for this for my whole life.
All right. On the football field, tell me, who is the best player you ever played against? Is there a quarterback, a running back, or a receiver that would just drive you nuts?
I would say the best player, RG3, 2 years ago when we played him at Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, he's a good one.
He's a real deal.
Tell me about your special teams experience. What can you offer to that aspect of the game?
I can offer all, you know, earlier in my years, I played all four special teams. This past year, I rotated at a personal protector. And the special teams is, you know, just being realistic. That's one of the things I have to thrive in and camp to make a roster. So I'm definitely preparing myself for that. And I have to play kickoff return, punt and punt returns. Just ready to get out there, make plays, really. And special teams is a big part of the game.
The defensive players aren't supposed to be able to block. That's not something you work on. You can do that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think if you know how to play football, you can block and tackle. It's called being athletic and not being cocky, but I feel like I could get, if coach tells me to get out there and block, just work on my technique, I could get the job done.
Very good. Terrence, with this talk show being out of Wisconsin, we're, of course, interested in the Green Bay Packers. The agency that represents you published on their website that the Packers have shown interest in you. Were they at your pro day at Texas Tech, or how did that work out?
Yeah, they're at my pro day at Texas Tech, and after a good workout, I'm not sure who the scout was, but he came up to me, and he said, I had a real good day, and to keep it up, and still be in touch with me. I'm guessing after all the pro days over with, when they evaluate things, hopefully they remember me.
How would you like to play in Green Bay if they said they wanted to sign you?
I would love it. All the history they have out here with Lambeau Field and everything about it, I would love playing in Green Bay. I would rip Packers to the fullest.
Well, you're in Detroit already, so maybe you don't take a plane ride back. Just stay here in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. If they wanted me, I would.
Well, Terrence, we wish you the best of luck this weekend at Ford Field in Detroit at the NFL Super Regional Combine. You work out Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Well, we wish you all the best of luck. And if you happen to get signed by the Green Bay Packers, we'd love to have you on the show again.
Yes, sir. I'd love to be on there, too.
All right. Take care, Terrence, and good luck. Terrence Bullitt, Texas Tech linebacker, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him join us on the show, talk a little bit about the NFL Super Regional Combine taking place. So I mean, this kind of flies under the radar a little bit as far as, you know, everybody knows the NFL Combine, and they're a little bit probably less familiar with the regional combines and the super regional combines. So after the NFL Combine, even before, I think, there's all these small regional combines held all over the country. There's like a dozen of them, you know, from the West Coast to the East Coast, the North to South, everywhere in between. And what the NFL is trying to do is not allow guys to slip through the cracks. You know, there's 300-some players invited to the NFL Combine, but the NFL recognizes, well, there's some talented players who maybe weren't invited to the Combine that were kind of overlooking here, and we still want to get a chance to look at them. So they hold all these regional combines all over the country, and then what they do is they take the best ones. I don't know the exact number of players they invite, but you know, all the players who perform the best in all these regional combines, they invite them to the Super Regional Combine in Detroit. And basically, these are the best players that weren't at the NFL Combine. And even a few of them I know are former NFL players, the kind of guys who maybe got a cup of tea in the NFL and got cut eventually, but they're still working to get their way back in. So they're kind of working out and getting their chance. So, I mean, you know, definitely, obviously, no first-round draft choices here at the NFL Super Regional Combine. But, you know, the kind of guys who fill out your roster, a lot of these guys will be undrafted types, the kind of guys you're going to sign after the Combine, like Terrence Bullitt here, or sign after the draft, I mean. And they got a real good chance, to many of them, to sign an NFL contract and compete for a job in training camp. Certainly, you know, guys of this caliber, nothing's going to be given to them. They're going to have to earn it. But for these guys, that's all they want is the chance. And that's what they get starting this weekend at the regional combine. So very interesting stuff there to hear from Terrence Bullitt. Wish him the best, and lots of other guys. I mean, there's probably more than 100 working out at the regional combine this weekend. Detroit Ford Field takes place on Saturday, I think. I think that's the only day they work out. But anyway, and what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers? This week, the NFL's preseason schedule was announced. And I think that there was one game that really caught my attention above all others, and it catches my attention for several reasons. First of all, because it's the Packers' home preseason opener. They open the preseason on the road this year and actually don't get a home game until week three when they play the Oakland Raiders. And it's being televised on CBS. So, you know, a lot of times with these preseason games, they're kind of regionally telecast. So not everybody can always see them. But everyone across the nation will be able to see the Packers take on the Raiders in the preseason. So, you know, if you're a Packers fan listening to this podcast from afar, you'll be able to check out that game as long as you live in the in the USA. I'm not making guarantees for international listeners and viewers. But, you know, I think what's interesting here is, of course, you know, Oakland kind of becoming Green Bay West to a small extent. But, of course, you know, Reggie McKenzie, their general manager, former Packers front office executive, hired as the general manager out in Oakland, and he's had one hell of a job in front of him, you know, that taking over for basically Al Davis there and kind of leaving that organization when Reggie McKenzie inherited it, kind of in a poor situation. You know, heck, they had just made that trade for Terrell Pryor and gave up, you know, draft choices to do it, and they, you know, had salary cap problems, et cetera, et cetera. And they had to get out of that. And now McKenzie's entering, what, his third season out in Oakland, and he's really gone all in free agency this year. They've signed, like, what, about a dozen free agents, including two former Packers. And that's what makes this game all the more interesting. All the former faces we're going to see. James Jones signed with the Raiders in free agency. C.J. Wilson signed with the Raiders in free agency. And then on top of that, you've got, of course, Charles Woodson, who's now entering his second season out in Oakland and going to come back for the first time to Lambeau Field since he left. Charles Woodson, had it not been for him, who knows if the Packers would have won Super Bowl XLV back in 2010, being such a major part of that team. And even, you know, the years before that, when he signed with the Packers in 2006, just was a big part of that rebuild from the Mike Sherman era to get to where they are today. And where they were in 2010. Without Charles Woodson, who knows how far they would have gone. But that's what interests me about that game, is seeing all these faces return to Lambeau Field for, you know, and James Jones was certainly a big part of the Super Bowl season as well. C.J. Wilson even was a starter on the Packers Super Bowl team. So seeing these guys, you know, you're not going to see them in the regular season. The Packers don't play the Raiders this year. So nice to see them, even though it's an exhibition environment. Still makes it a little bit of fun, more so than your typical, you know, preseason game. And as they usually say, you know, week three of the preseason, that's, you know, typically the time you see the starters play the most. The weeks one, week two are kind of a build up, kind of a get back into the swing of things, but they don't play a whole ton in those first few games. And week three, you know, they usually play about halftime. They bring them out in the third quarter before the starters, you know, totally get taken out of the game. Usually that's the way it works, not always 100% of the time, but regardless, I mean, so that adds to the allure of this game as well. But I mean, kind of going through the Packers' whole preseason schedule here, first game of the year is week one at the Tennessee Titans. So the Packers opening up the preseason on the road this year. I think it's three out of the four past years they're opening up the preseason on the road. This year going to Tennessee. And the Packers used to play the Titans like every – that was the Packers' preseason finale for years. They played them like eight straight preseasons, if you remember, from like 2002 to 2009. That last game was always against the Titans, and then they kind of got away with that. And of course, we're getting to their preseason finale here in a second. And then they go on the preseason for a second consecutive week, week two at the St. Louis Rams. The Packers will be playing them for a second consecutive year in St. Louis, nonetheless. So two straight years on the road in St. Louis. Kind of interesting there how they're going to open up the exhibition season that way with two consecutive road games. Then they finally come back home for the first time, week three against Oakland that we talked about already. And then the Packers' usual preseason finale for a fifth straight season against the Kansas City Chiefs. Five straight years. Just, you know, you can put your bottom dollar that the Packers will be ending their, you know, preseason against the Chiefs and keep doing so. So it's kind of been that way and will continue to be that way as far as I can see. Like I said, they always used to end against the Titans. Now they're ending against the Chiefs, but seems to be the way it's working. And that'll be the last one before the regular season starts then in September. So it kind of makes me think a little bit that the Packers, the regular season opener is going to be on the road this year. And a lot of times that regular season opener is at home at Lambeau Field. But because the Packers play two consecutive home games, weeks three and week four of the preseason, it just makes me think that, boy, they're gonna want to allow that field to kind of stay off of it for 2 weeks while they let it, you know, the grass kind of come back. And you know, after you tromp on it for two games, you know, a lot of grass gets kicked up and whatever. So that, it just, you know, not to say that's a 100% guarantee here, but I'm thinking the Packers actually open the season on the road this year. There's been some speculation that they'll take part in that in the kickoff game where they're the team that travels out to Seattle to take on the defending world champion Seattle Seahawks. I tend to think that the San Francisco 49ers would kind of be the ideal opponent there for Seattle, but no guarantees. We'll see. We'll find out. Maybe the Packers will be there. Maybe they won't. But anyway, the other thing that's kind of note that came out since our last episode of Railbird Central on Wednesday is the news surrounding Packers tight end JerMichael Finley. Josina Anderson of ESPN reported that Finley underwent an X-ray yesterday. I'm not really sure how much an X-ray will tell you. X-rays tell you if there's bones broken. That this is something they probably should have been able to tell a long time ago. I'm sure JerMichael Finley got an X-ray probably in the aftermath of his injury sometime, and I hope he hasn't broken any bones since that time. But more so than that, he's apparently going to be having an MRI sometime, Josina Anderson reported, in the next 2 weeks. Didn't, you know, give an exact date, but sometime in the near future here, JerMichael Finley will be having that. And then, as the report said, he'll be sending his scans out to Dr. Joseph Maroon, the team doctor, the team neurosurgeon of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he will take a look at them. And but I mean, here's where, you know, it's this really isn't news. You know, JerMichael Finley and his camp love to put out all this news and keep the public updated about this status. But again, it doesn't matter what the team doctor of the Pittsburgh Steelers thinks. He can clear them. That doesn't mean the Packers have to clear them. That doesn't mean the Packers have to sign them. Each team, each NFL team, well, they certainly may take some advice you may consider the recommendation of Dr. Joseph Maroon, will consider it. They don't have to praise that as gospel or anything like that. They don't have to, you know, heed whatever he says. Each individual team, if they're considering signing JerMichael Finley, they're the ones inheriting the risk. They're the ones who, you know, have to decide whether they want to allow an injured player like JerMichael Finley come out there, and, you know, do they want to put him at risk for potentially being injured again? That's what they have to decide. And if they don't want to inherit that risk, they don't have to. You know, just because his personal doctor clears him for contact doesn't mean the Packers have to or any team. So, it's again, it really doesn't matter. This whole thing about JerMichael Finley's going to get an MRI, he's going to get an X-ray. Yippee hooray, all it matters is are the Packers comfortable with it? And again, I mean, maybe they will be. I mean, obviously they're wanting to wait here. They're taking a wait-and-see approach, you know, as to they like to wait a long time before making a decision on these guys. You know, just taking a look at the most recent injuries that have happened to players, to the neck, to the spine, like Nick Collins, like Sean Richardson. I mean, these guys waited nearly a whole year since the point of their injuries before the Packers made some sort of decision on their future. And maybe it wasn't quite an entire year, but it's longer than the what is it, you know, been 5 months since JerMichael Finley ended up hurting his back, had that bruised spinal cord, and ended up having spinal fusion surgery. You know, I think it's been about 5 months since last October is when it initially occurred. The Packers, the time frame for making a decision on Sean Richardson, on Nick Collins, was later than that. You know, it ended up being, you know, what, 10 months they make their decisions, maybe a little shorter. But, I mean, the point being is that they're really cautious. And, you know, maybe they want to look at the MRI. Maybe they're still not comfortable, though. Maybe they want to wait till closer to the start of the season. You know, they won't want to make a decision till training camp or shortly before training camp, at least. Could very well be the case. You know, I can see it playing out that way, where maybe the Packers eventually bring JerMichael Finley back, but, you know, aren't going to be comfortable to do so until around training camp or so, until it's about July, when you know, they have a better idea of how his recovery is going. And if he ends up signing with another team in the interim, in the meantime, well, so be it. Again, the Packers probably wouldn't mind having a comp pick if JerMichael Finley ends up signing a big enough contract that warrants one, that the Packers will eventually be rewarded. So it's news, but it's not. Certainly, again, the Packers, they're taking the approach. They want to wait a longer time, see how the recovery is going, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter here what the team doctor of the Pittsburgh Steelers thinks. It's whether the Packers want to take that risk or not of signing JerMichael Finley. And we'll see how it all plays out. And again here, I mean, if we would kind of want to transition into some NFL draft talk, what do the Packers do at the tight end position as they kind of decide whether or not they want to sign a tight end? I've said this many, many times now. I kind of feel like a broken record that I think the Packers need a big, tall target for Aaron Rodgers. And again, I don't think it matters if it's a wide receiver, it's a tight end. They need a guy who's 6'4 to 6'6, heck, even taller than that, maybe. But a guy that's mobile too, like JerMichael Finley, and a guy that can get downfield. And there's several of those type of guys in the NFL draft. I mean, if you're looking at the guys who are technically classified as wide receiver, the guys who will never, you know, be in line. We're talking about Mike Evans of Texas A&M, Kelvin Benjamin of Florida State. There's a couple mid-round receivers that are, you know, the taller, bigger type as well. Martavis Bryant of Clemson. Those kind of guys I think the Packers would consider. But then if we're talking tight ends as well, we're talking Eric Ebron of North Carolina, kind of considered the number one tight end in this year's draft class, Austin Seferian Jenkins of Washington, Jason Morrow of Texas Tech. This year's tight end class is kind of interesting. You know, those three guys I just mentioned, all uber athletic and talented, but all have some drawbacks as well that you just kind of makes you second guess yourself, especially when you're talking about the first round and you don't really, you know, you make that big investment into a first round draft choice and maybe you're kind of hesitant to do it with these guys, you know, with Eric, and all three of them have character concerns. We've laid it out here at Cheesehead TV, how there's, you know, a lot of concerns about Eric Ebron and being a prima donna and a me type of person and a finger pointer. All these coming from a report from Tony Pauline of draftinsider.net. With Jason Morrow, I know he got into a fight on the field with another player, ended up being suspended by the Big 12 conference. It was only for like half a game, but still, you know, the conference had to get involved with the suspension here. And so that's Jason Morrow. Austin Seferian Jenkins, I believe he got a DUI or OWI or whatever that, you know, term is that they use out in Washington. He ends up getting suspended for a game or two and has to do community service and things like that. There's all these little red flags with all of them. Not, you know, again, I mean, these guys are young. They make mistakes. And, you know, certainly there are worse things you could do. But it shows they've made some mistakes in judgment with these guys. These players have in the past and not really, you know, all that sure about what's happening here. John on the live blog, I said, I'm not concerned with Austin Seferian Jenkins, and I have to say I've listened to interviews with Steve Sarkisian out in Washington, and they don't seem to concern me either. So for what it's worth, I kind of think Austin Seferian Jenkins, those character issues don't seem to be big, but you do kind of wonder if he's a guy who gives all his effort on the football field. Jersey L. Bracco says, I've heard of issues from another source with Eric Ebron. Very interesting. So Eric Ebron seems to be a guy who's falling down draft boards, I say, because of concerns like this, character concerns, where people don't really want to make that kind of investment in him in the first round. Now all of a sudden you start talking about the second round, and you're talking about the second player you draft. They become a little less of a concern because there's also, you know, a little bit, you know, more of a chip on the guy's shoulder, and all of a sudden a guy like Eric Ebron will realize, well, you know, I wasn't a first-round draft choice. Maybe I'm not quite as good as I think, and that kind of helps things a little bit. So, and again, I mean, I don't know these guys personally, but these are just reports that I've seen, and something I'm not going to dismiss totally. When you're talking about millions and millions of dollars of investment, I mean, you got to do your due diligence if you're Ted Thompson, Packers general manager for any team for that matter. So, you know, that's why it's so important to look at these things and you know, consider the character of these guys before you bring them into the fold and before you draft them. But, folks, there will be no episode of Railbird Central on Monday. I will not be around in the studio at home. No episode of Railbird Central. So next Wednesday, next episode. But usually every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV is when we have the show. But that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us so much here on a Friday. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Enjoy watching the Masters. Fantastic golf tournament out there. So hope you're watching that on TV and taking that in. Spring is here when the Masters is on. So makes me feel good at least. But we'll see you later, everyone. Have a good weekend. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.